Good morning once again, and happy Sabbath. You know, normally during Sabbath school, I always ask about prayers and praises and things, and I didn't get that today, so I'm going to take just 1 minute because I love prayers and praises. I love to hear what's on your mind. I'm a little nosy, okay? So I want to hear prayers and praises. How was everybody's week? Any prayers? Any praises? Becky? Amen.
Much easier for
Amen. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Sister?
The thing is, you got to praise God for the big things and the small things. So this week, I went to Kai's house, and I told her, I'm going to get some boxes for you. And she said, oh, that's great. So I went to, like, the supermarket, and I got one box. So I was going, and I said, Lord, help me to find some boxes for her. And as I got into one of the recyclables did not pick up their boxes yet. And I was able to get a truckload of boxes for her. And I took them over to her. And she texted me this morning. She says, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so happy for the boxes. So we got to praise God for everything. Because he hears you and he answers.
Amen. I love it. I love it.
But we're here this morning. We're a few numbers, but the body is also together.
I don't know. I think it looks almost as full as it normally does. Right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, I mean, we're three more than we were the last time we opened up. See? So word's traveling. I like it. Praise God. I mean, and I'll tell you, I'm going to praise God right now because when we put this together this week, I didn't know whether anybody was going to work the audio booth. And I originally got notes a while back for Paul when he went on vacation, and I didn't save them. That was my fault. So now I'm scrambling going, I don't have anybody for the audio. And then I hear, oh, Becky's was going to do Sabbath school, was thinking about doing it, and then she got in a car accident. I'm like, okay, I can do Sabbath school. That's not a problem, but do we have anybody for music? And I'm like, well, we got the audio, but, you know, just about pass out with that audio sometimes because it just goes so fast, you know, and I'm not sure I can even bring it up. So pastor goes, well, you can sing a cappella. And I said, well, you haven't heard me sing a cappella, and you're not here. So, you know, maybe that's not the best. So I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to stop worrying about all of this. Because, you know, you put it on my heart to just say, let's keep this church open in faith, right? And guess what? Chris shows up first thing bright and early to run the audio. Thank you, Chris. Becky walks through the door. I never expected to see Becky walking through the door after what she went through, and she's playing the piano. So praise God, and we are sitting at 21, 22 strong with four visitors. So praise the Lord, right? It's a wonderful thing. The sermon that I took today was out of, well, it's Steps to Jesus. I read the modern version, Steps to Christ. And it was chapter 10 from Mrs. White, and it was about knowing God. And I said, you know, that would be really good to talk about because, you know, I just keep looking. Sometimes I look down at this world too much, and I see all of the wars and the crime and the immorality and the thievery and everything that's happening. And you can get very discouraged. It can really eat you up inside. It can chew you up and spit you out in a negative way, and you don't want to do that. And I started thinking, well, you know, God didn't create this world to start with to look like this, right? You can still see God's beauty, but he didn't start this world to look like this. So I said, let's talk about knowing God. Let's talk a little bit about what he did in the beginning with this world. So we can kind of go back to what that world looked like in a very small window of time when it was perfect. Our scripture reading was John 17, verse 3. I'm going to reread it. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And, you know, we have to emphasize on knowing God. It is the essence of eternal life. Knowing who God is, so that we understand who our Savior and our Father is to build that relationship. Mrs. White, let me start, and what I'm going to do here just to tell you is you're going to hear excerpts of this chapter in here, and I'll tell you when it's Mrs. White and where I built off of that because I just was so inspired by this. But Mrs. White wrote this, God uses many ways to make himself known to us and to bring us close to himself. He uses nature, which is always speaking to our senses. And if we have open minds, we shall see God's love and glory in the things that he has made. If we listen, we shall hear and understand the lessons of God and what he is teaching through the things of nature. We'll see green fields, tall trees, and flowering plants. They invite us to know God and the glory that, and what he has created in the beautiful gardens that we see. Spring is my favorite time of year. How about anybody else? Spring for me is my favorite time of year because all of the trees are blooming. All the flowers are coming out. All the colors are there. The warmth in the sky is starting to happen. And it's like this is the season where life comes back into play. And for me, that's just, I can't wait. I see the buds. You ask my wife, I drive her crazy. I think there's buds in those trees. I see buds in those trees. We're at the end of March. She says, well, there's no buds in those trees, right? No, there's buds in those trees. And I go crazy when it comes to spring. So green fields, tall trees, and flowering plants invite us to know God. Clouds and glories of the heavens speak to him. Falling rain and running brooks turn our minds to the one who made them all. You know, and they invite us to know him. Our Savior taught precious lessons using the things of nature. Trees, birds, flowers remind the people of these lessons. Hills, lakes, and skies help them to remember the truth that he taught. They thought of his lessons even when they were at work because it resonated with inside them. And that's what God wants, is when we do our prayer, when we resonate with God that morning, that the things that he is putting in our heart and in our mind stay with us throughout the day. And we think about those things. And not only do we think about those things, but when certain things come in front of us, we have a better guideline on how to act because God's in our mind and in our heart. And when something hits us off guard, it may stop us from acting negatively, and it may give us the opportunity to act Christian-like and positively. You know, God wants us to enjoy what he has made. He wants us to delight in the simple, quiet beauty of the earth. And God loves beautiful things. And more than the beauty of nature, he loves a beautiful character in us. And I want to go back over this for a second. Simple, quiet beauty. Simple, quiet beauty. I like the word quiet. The word quiet resonated to me when I read this. And the reason is that Satan wants our senses to be distracted with anything that he can distract it with. He wants to distract us, take our focus away from us. He wants us to worry about finances, health. He wants us to worry about what's going on in the world, road rage, worry about losing our jobs, where are we going to live, how are we going to retire, what's going to happen, look at the wars of the world, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. That's where Satan wants our focus to be. He wants it to be distracted, noisy, upsetting, so that we will not be quiet and simply focusing on God. If he can distract us, we will not be focusing where we need to be focusing. You know, when I look at this and I talk about that he loves a Christian character, a beautiful character, I will tell you that I heard this story, and some of you may have heard the story. For those of you who heard it, I hope you enjoy it again. For those of you who haven't heard it, I hope you enjoy it the first time, but Doug Batchelor told this story. He happens to be one of my favorites because he's got a good sense of humor. He was telling the story about someone who was behind somebody at a red light, and the light turned green, and the woman that was under the green light didn't move. So there's this gentleman behind her, and he's waiting. He's seeing the light's green. Now he's looking, and she's texting on her phone. She doesn't see the light had turned from red to green. She's texting, so he gives a little honk. She's still texting, doesn't look up. He gives a longer honk, and she's still not moving. The light's green. Now he's getting really mad, and he's honking a long time, and he's pounding on his dashboard, and he's yelling, and he's screaming. And he gives this really long honk on the horn, and the light turns red. She's startled. She looks up. She sees the light's red, and she's like, what's going on? So she goes back down. Now he's just yelling profusely. He's really upset. He's lost it. He's in park with road rage, right? And all of a sudden, on his window, and he looks over, and he's startled. And there's a police officer there pointing a gun at him. And he says, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Get out of the car, sir." He goes, "What did I do?" "Sir, get out of the car." But what did I do? "Sir, don't make me ask you again. Get out of the car." This guy gets out of the car. He says, "What did I do? What did I do?" He says, "Turn around," pats him down, handcuffs him. "What did I do? What did I do?" And he puts him back at the police cruiser, gets his license. He says, "Just sit there." He says, "I'll be with you in a minute." Police officer gets in the front, runs a registration, runs a license, gets out of the car, opens the back door, lets him out, uncuffs him. He says, "You can go, sir." He goes, "What did I do? What did I do to get put in the back of a police cruiser?" He goes, "Sir," he goes, "I am sorry." He goes, "But you can leave." He goes, "Well, you're going to hear from my lawyers. I want to know what I did." He goes, "Well, I'll tell you what you did." He goes, "I pull up behind you." He goes, "You're honking your horn. You're screaming at the lady in front of you. You're pounding on your dashboard." And he goes, "I looked down at your bumper, and there was a little fish sign, and there was a praise Jesus sign right next to it on the bumper." And he goes, "Quite honestly, sir, I thought you stole the car." Because he was not showing himself as a Christian, right? So this police officer said he had to have stolen this car, just by the way he's acting. How often do we find ourselves in a position where if we're not focused on God, if our senses are not filled with that still confidence in that beauty of what God has for us, that we will act this way? Because it takes that mindset and that heart that's filled with God in the morning as we fill up our spiritual tanks to give us the resistance to act that way a lot of times. And to maybe pray instead of pound on your dashboard. To maybe go, "Maybe there's something wrong. I can go knock on her door, see if she's okay. Praise the Lord, she's okay." Rather than scream and yell and beep your horn. All different ways to handle things, right? Depending on what's in our heart, what's in our mind. But Satan wants us distracted to act certain ways. God wants us distracted to act certain ways. It's important to understand that. So Mrs. Wright goes on to write, "God speaks to us in a way that he directs our lives and through the influence of his Spirit, and we may find precious lessons in what happens in our daily lives if our minds are open to understanding them." Now, as David thought about the scenes of nature that he wrote, "The earth is full of goodness of the Lord," and that is Psalms 33:5. "May those who are wise think about these things, may they consider the Lord's constant love," and that is out of Psalms 107:13. You know, we talk a little bit about nature, but let's talk about some intelligent design, all right? Because God is an intelligent creator. And he shows in every aspect of how he's created this universe, this world, what he has done. So DNA, let's talk a little bit about DNA. DNA contains vast amounts of information, and this has always been fascinating to me. DNA is not merely a chemical molecule. It carries detailed biological information that directs how living organisms grow, how they develop, how they repair themselves, and how they reproduce. Every human cell contains about 3 billion DNA base pairs, encoding instructions for building and maintaining the body. And if stretched out, the DNA, one little single cell, would measure out 2 meters or 6 feet. That's pretty long. Yet it fits inside a nucleus only a few micrometers wide that you cannot see with the naked eye, that you need a telescope to see or microscope to see. DNA demonstrates order rather than randomness. Now, every living organism depends on DNA to coordinate countless biological processes. Cells copy DNA with remarkable accuracy, repair damage, regulate gene activity, and orchestrate development from a single fertilized egg into a complete organism. Christians view this highly ordered system as consistent with a purposeful, intelligent design by our Creator God, not by some accident that happened with the Big Bang Theory. From the creationist view or the Christian's view, DNA reveals incredible complexity, precise organized information, sophisticated molecule machinery, remarkable accuracy in replication and repair, and the wisdom and the creativity of God is very apparent in all of this. Now, these observations are understood as supporting the biblical declaration, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's Genesis 1:1. Now, have you ever wondered why Earth is the only known planet that supports abundant life? Think about that. Think about how well precisely placed this world is. Our planet is not merely floating aimlessly through space. It occupies a remarkable position that allows oceans to remain liquid, plants to grow, and life to flourish. Genesis tells us that the God created the sun to rule the day. It provides exactly what life on Earth requires. If Earth were significantly closer to the sun, temperatures would become dangerously hot. Much of Earth's water could evaporate. Many forms of life would struggle or even perish. If Earth were significantly further away, temperatures would become much colder. Water could freeze over extensively. Agriculture and ecosystems would be severely affected. Earth follows a predictable orbit around the sun year after year after year. And the stability gives us this: regular seasons, reliable planting and harvest cycles, consistent lengths of days and years, long-term climate patterns that sustain civilization. You know, Jeremiah 33:25 reminds us that God established the ordinance of heaven and earth, and the regularity of creation reflects his faithfulness. Earth's ability to sustain life depends on many factors working together, and it includes the atmosphere, the liquid water, Earth's magnetic field, gravity, rotation rate, all perfectly set so that this world can flourish abundantly. And that was not done by accident. It did not fall into a rotation perfectly from one distance to another to the sun, because there was an explosion. It happened because God made it by design perfectly so that we could have life, so that we could know him. Rather than viewing this as isolated coincidence, Christians understand them as part of one beautiful integrated design by our Creator God. Mrs. Wright also says that our senses delight in the beauty of this earth. Think then of the world to come that will never know the sorrow of sin or death. Nothing will grow old or die. Think of the lovely home of the saved that will be more glorious than we can even imagine. In the many gifts of God in nature, we see only a little of his glory. And the Bible says, no mere man has ever seen, heard, or imagined what wonderful things has ready for those who love the Lord. Let's go one further a little bit. So we think about what we will have in heaven, or we think about when we're caught up in the clouds, what the Lord will have for us. It makes me really stop and think, what was this world like when it was perfect? What was this world like when Adam and Eve was in the garden? We see glimpses of that beauty, but it makes me think we haven't even begun to see what this world really looked like when God created it perfect, with no sin, no deterioration, nothing eroding. I think that I can't even picture what that would look like. He does give us glimpse of beauty through plants and flowers and trees. Sometimes we go on vacation and we see landscapes in different places and go, oh, that's so beautiful. And it is, but I bet you it doesn't hold a candle to what it looked like when God created it perfect. It's amazing. We think forward about what we may get when we head to heaven. I'm looking back today to say, let's think about the world God created as a perfect world rather than focusing on everything that's happening in it today. You know, God speaks to us with his word through the Bible as well. And here, he tells us some things more clearly than through nature. He tells us about his character and how he deals with people. He explains to us that he has redeemed us. And the Bible tells us stories of great and good people who lived long ago. Each of them was the same kind of person as we are. Jeremiah 5:17, we see what hard times they had, and they suffered as we do. They sinned as we have done, but they did not give up. So, you know, when we look at some of these things and these great examples, a lot of times we'll look at people in the Bible and go, oh, I can't do what they did. I'm not David. I'm not Samson. I'm not Elijah. I'm not Jeremiah. Well, you are. You are. Because they face the same struggles that we face today. And when the book of life is opened up and people get to see for those who stayed faithful to God, they'll go, well, look what Jeremiah did. Well, oh yeah, okay. Well, look what Connie did. Look what Kamai did. Here's the book of Kamai, right? Here's the book of Mark. Well, they already got that one, but anyway. Here's the book of Elaine, right? We'll all have that equal story to tell about how we persevered, how we stayed connected with God, and how we had the same fight and the same glory that everybody else did. Paul's going to wake up and we go, Paul, whoa, he was a great prophet. He spread the word. Paul's going to come up to you and go, you spread the word too. I'm glad to see you're here. Can you imagine that? So we have the same exact opportunities that we do when we see people in the Bible. You know, when I think about this world, when I think about what we had, and I think about what we could look at or what we could look forward to, I really think about the fact that God created a beautiful world and that he wants you to have a beautiful spirit. He wants you to look at this world and focus on the beauty, not the negativity. He wants you to study his word and understand who he is. He wants you to have that quiet confidence in your heart, to know that you can move forward no matter what, and that God is there. The Holy Spirit, to me, is like a warm blanket inside, and that's how it feels when you get scared. All of a sudden, this one still, and this reminds me of this, when we start to get anxiety, when we start to think, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, or I don't want to do this, this is going to be hard, I don't want to do this, right? If you're praying to God, all of a sudden, I get this. Anybody ever see in the first thing in the morning a lake where it looks like a mirror, a clear glass mirror, right? You don't even want to throw a pebble into it. You don't even want the wind to touch it. That's the level of calm the Holy Spirit can put over you if you allow him, when you need to move forward and do his work. And he knows that he can give that to you. And if you have the faith and the confidence to take that, you'll be able to move forward with the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. We talked about wisdom. We talked about wisdom for the last few weeks. Wisdom is not something that's here on this earth. We have smart, intelligent people. Wisdom comes from God. That's the only person who owns wisdom. And he can give you and impart you wisdom. You can be one of the smartest guys in the world as a scientist, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit connected to you, you don't have wisdom. You have intellect. There's a whole difference there. I use the analogy. I'll use it again. Years and years ago, in baseball, they had ace pitchers. They had maybe a dozen ace pitchers over a dozen years. That's it. Out of all the pitchers that pitched in baseball, only a dozen maybe were aces. Now all of a sudden, everybody's got an ace. That's not true. What they did was they bastardized the word. Okay? And that's what happened with wisdom. We bastardized the word and we used it in a worldly fashion where it doesn't belong. Wisdom comes from God. And we can get that through prayer, Bible study, and understanding who he is. Our faith and our love will grow strong when we think about heavenly things. Our prayers will be more pleasing to God because they will be more and more mixed with faith and love, and we will pray with more understanding and have greater confidence in Jesus. We will daily feel his power, which is able to save all who come to God. And when we spend time thinking of our perfect Savior, we will want to be changed. We will hunger and thirst to be pure as he is. The more we think about him, the more we will speak to him and to others in a better way, and we'll be able to show the world with education that he has given us and wisdom he's given us, how we can bring them to Jesus. You know, we talked a little bit about addiction this morning, right? Addiction's not a bad thing. Now I'm going to tell you why. Because God wants us to be addicted to him. God has given us the worship gene. And we often use the worship gene to worship other things that we shouldn't be worshiping. Okay? Sports, TV, clothes, money, drugs, alcohol, whatever the case is. We worship those things. The worship gene was made for God. And when you become addicted to God, God becomes addicted to you. And that's when you turn into a whole nother person. We talked about sometimes not knowing how to handle things in the church. If we have a spiritual connection to God and it's grown and it's matured and he's given us a sense of wisdom, he will show us. If we don't have it and we're not connected, it's like a bad connection on your cell phone. You can only hear every third word. And you have to assume what that sentence meant. And you're probably going to be wrong. That's a bad connection with God. God wants us to understand and to know him. And the easiest way to do it, it's not complicated, guys. It's to prayerfully talk to Jesus. It's to do some of your Bible studies in the morning and spend some time with him in prayer. And that's really when you need it. That spiritual food is like, what do they say is the best meal of the day, food-wise? Breakfast, right? Because it puts all that power in you and it gets you moving forward and you have all that energy for the day. What's your best spiritual food for the day? Breakfast, right? Morning time. So it kind of goes hand in hand. So fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. Allow God to come in and to know you. You know, that's part of the reason why, and probably a large part of the reason why, that we don't allow God in is because we don't want to change. We're afraid to change. We don't know what change is. We don't know where we're going. We want a guarantee. We want to know that the road he's going to put us on is okay and we'll make the decision. You know, that's not what freedom of choice is. Freedom of choice is to choose God and trust in faith or not. It's not to send me the roadmap and I'll make a decision next week. It's not how it goes. We often are scared to take away things and vices we like. We're often are scared to move forward in faith because it may change the direction we have set for ourselves for the next 40 years. And we do set these things. Our retirement plan, our home, our health, where we want to be, how hard we've worked to get there, all these things are roadblocks that get in your way from connecting to Jesus. Allow him to connect to you. You know, as Mrs. White says, the Bible was written for everybody, not just for well-educated people. The great truth that tells us how to be saved are as clear as noonday. As clear as noonday. No one will lose the way except those who follow their own judgment and their own way instead of the way of God and the way God has plainly set the path for them. You know, reading scripture, and I've done this, so I don't want to, I really don't want to point fingers at anybody. I've done it myself and I've seen people do it. They complicate the word of God so that they can make it, they can't understand it. And that's the reason they do it. The Word of God gets complicated when you complicate it. The Word of God is some of the other, you know, studying prophecy can be hard. You need to understand certain things to understand prophecy. But beyond prophecy, the basic Word of God is very simplistic to read. It doesn't mean it's not powerful. It means it's very easy to read and understand. And when it's very easy to read and understand, there's your freedom of choice whether you take it or you don't take it. It's up to you to know God. I pick up that Bible, and even I can understand it. But there have been times where I go, oh, I don't know if that was that, does that really mean that? I think it means this, that, and the other thing. And what I'm doing is procrastinating. What I'm doing is saying, yeah, I know that's the truth, but I don't want that right now. So I'm going to try and make it seem something else. I'm going to try and make it seem like it's more complicated than it is. So I have a reason not to understand it, want it, or do it. The Word of God is there for you and for I in a very simplistic, loving way that if we accept it, will transform us into something 10 times better than that 40-year roadblock or road that you set for yourself to get to retirement or to wherever else you want to go. All right? Live today like it's your last day and that you're preparing for a thousand years. Live today like it's your last day and prepare and you're preparing yourself for that 1,000 years. If you can do that, you're going to make it there. You bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you, Lord, for the people that have showed up here and for our great Sabbath school lesson and for the opportunity to preach your word, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for those who are traveling today, Lord. We want to make sure that they have traveling mercies when they're going back and forth to William Miller and getting back to their homes. And Lord, allow us, please allow us to understand your word and be willing to move forward and grow in wisdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And our closing hymn is, there we go, 272.